Welcome to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, July 16th, 2017, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
Several years ago, with no prior experience and no discernible talent, I decided that I was going to become a gardener. I wasn't really interested in flowers, although I love flowers. I wanted to grow vegetables. And in particular, I wanted to grow tomatoes that tasted like the tomatoes I remember as a kid. Those beefsteak tomatoes bursting with flavor. Unlike the perfect appearing but insipid tomatoes that you can buy in the store or get served in a restaurant. So I thought to myself, this is easy. You stick some seeds in the ground and magically, perfect tomatoes grow. Not so, I found out. After one failed attempt, I realized that the soil matters. The condition of the soil. I learned way more than I expected about pH balance and acidity in the soil and about what kind of, rototiller. I had to bring a parishioner out with his rototiller to chew up this area where we were going to plant and put in the right kind of fertilizer and check it and water. And then weeds are terrible. I hate weeds. Who invented weeds? So after long periods of struggle, I finally got these wonderful tomato plants growing up. And then, of course, you have to brace them because tomatoes are heavy. You know, it's not really natural. They just flop right over. So I had to prop them up, and I got two perfect tomatoes. And then that summer, in our little area of Western New York, we had the worst tomato blight that they had had in 20 years. And all the rest of my tomatoes were ruined. And I gave up gardening forever. Not persistent. But it did teach me a lot about what it takes to produce good fruit, to produce good vegetables, to produce the kind of yield that we need to produce. I mean, scientific agriculture has learned a tremendous amount about increasing yield and so forth, but even in the micro part of my little garden, I learned a lot about what it takes. And it made me really question the sanity of the sower in today's gospel, because I carefully placed each seed in the best soil I could find, right? And he just threw his seed everywhere. Some went on the pathway where it was going to be eaten by birds. Some went in the rocky soil where it had no root. Some went into thorny soil where it was choked by the other plants. What kind of gardener is this who wastes the precious seeds by throwing them hither and yon? Parables are an interesting method of teaching. They're Jesus' favorite way of teaching, and they're very different from the other ways that ancient teachers taught. Think of your childhood reading Aesop's fables, right? Aesop, the great Greek moralist, would tell these stories, and then at the end, he would helpfully give you the moral, right? You don't have to guess what the story is about. Aesop tells you. Or think of allegories, which were very popular in the ancient world, where a story kind of explains a modern situation and every character in the story has a one-for-one correspondence with a modern person. Parables are different. According to Amy Jill Levine, one of my favorite New Testament scholars, ironically, she's a Jewish scholar of the New Testament, right? So she is really in touch with the pattern of Jewish storytelling and of teaching. And she writes that parables are unique because there is not necessarily one right answer. The parable invites you, the hearer, to use your imagination, to use your mind, to engage with the story, and to find where the meaning lies. So we might come up with different ideas about what is the seed in this story, who is the sower, what is the soil. For me, this story is not so much, you know, I used to read this story as a condemnation of me as bad soil. What kind of bad soil am I today? Am I the shallow kind of soil? Am I the hard kind of soil? Am I the distracted kind of soil? Caring, you know, about the lures, I love that, the lures of the world and of the flesh. Is that preventing me from producing fruit? What kind of bad soil? But today, this story invites me to think about the extravagant love of God. A God who casts the seed, which to me is not only the Word of God, but also the life of the Kingdom of God. The life that we share in this world and by faith eternally with Christ in paradise. God casts this seed, this invitation, this kingdom everywhere and to everyone. Not condemning the soil, but inviting growth wherever it can take place. So we've read through our Old Testament lessons. We continue on with this wonderfully dysfunctional patriarchal family. And today, of course, we meet the characters of Jacob and Esau, who were not, we have to say, either one of them, perfect soil for God's planting. Jacob, who is the scheming, intelligent, but manipulative brother, and Esau, who is straightforward and dumb as a post. Let's see, one bowl of soup or my entire inheritance from my father? I'm hungry, I'm going for the soup. Neither one of them is great soil, and yet God uses them to bring about God's plan for the extension of God's grace through the people of Israel. God uses both of them, as we'll see in the story, to carry out God's plan and God's will, even though they are imperfect soil. And that's what gives me hope in our parable today. Because if I am honest, I am not always, or even most of the time, good soil. I don't necessarily see the hundredfold, 60-fold, or 30-fold crop that I so long for and desire. Often I am hardened by this world, distracted by other things, and rocky. I love that. Just rocky soil sometimes. Not enough depth to do what God needs me to do. And yet God shares with me the abundant love of the kingdom of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. As Paul reminds us, to be in the Spirit is what matters. That's what overcomes the flesh, is to be in the Spirit through the gift of Jesus Christ. One of the things I learned in my failed gardening experiment is that whatever kind of soil we might find ourselves to be, we are not permanently in that state. We don't have to stay hard soil or rocky soil or thorny soil, do we? We can do the work, the inner spiritual work of transforming the soil. My friend with his rototiller was able to take my hard soil and soften it. Through reading articles, I was able to take fertilizer and make the soil more fruitful and productive. I was able to go through and find the rocks and remove them. In other words, I was able to take my little garden patch, despite the blight, and I was able to transform it into better soil. And so it is with you and me. So it is with us as individuals, with us as a congregation, with us as a denomination, God is scattering the seed of the kingdom of God all over us and inviting us to take that seed and make it grow by doing the work of transforming ourselves and our communities into places and people that are more receptive to God's Spirit, God's grace, and God's call, to produce the harvest of righteousness and of love and of mercy and of generosity, to continually be fed and nurtured and transformed into the good soil that God needs for the spreading abroad of the kingdom of God. So let's work on our little garden patch, our hearts, our souls, our minds, our congregation, our community. What could we do to make good soil, to produce this incredible, abundant life that God gives and calls and expects and loves us into? Amen.
Amen.